all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone with VeteransRadio.net. We are recording today from the Legal Help for Veterans studio in Northville, Michigan. Legal Help for Veterans is a veterans disability law firm. You can reach us at 800-693-4800. We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today Dr. Gary Peterson. He's a professor of music at Eastern Michigan University, and he has spent the last couple of years developing a very interesting project called the Victory Vertical Piano Project. After 25 years of teaching music, he stumbled on something that's going to make us all go, I didn't know that. Gary, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Jim.
Well, let's set this up a little bit. You are a professor of music. You are a concert pianist. You have had a performance career all over the world. And one of the things that you are, I don't know the right lingo, I'll call it title, is you are a Steinway artist. Can you Can you explain a little bit of what that is for our listeners who may not be so musically inclined?
Well, the Steinway piano is, in my opinion, the piano par excellence in the world today. I would say most concert halls and most symphony orchestras use Steinway pianos for their soloists. And to become a Steinway artist, you have to be nominated by Steinway. I actually received the notification that I was being considered on my birthday a number of years ago, just by happenstance, and then was invited to present a program at Steinway Hall in New York City where I was inducted into this roster. What it really means is honorary. There are some advantages. For instance, when I go to a city to play, Steinway often provides me an instrument. When I need a place to practice, I can call a Steinway dealership and they will find me a place to work when I'm not near home. And I'm just honored to be among this roster that includes, you know, Horowitz and Rubinstein and Rachmaninoff and the greats of all time.
Well, it's a wonderful professional distinction, and we're talking about it, listeners, as we talk to Dr. Garrick Peterson of Eastern Michigan University and his distinction as a Steinway artist, because it's how you, if you will, stumbled upon the Victory Vertical Piano Project. Tell us how this came about.
Well, I had, in 2008, one perfect day. I was flown to New York City in the morning and taken to the Steinway factory to pick out a new piano for my studio. And I had, you know, 11 pianos to choose from, but there turned out that there was one that was just calling my name. And so before noon, I had selected my piano, and I was invited to go then to Manhattan, to Steinway Hall. And it just happened that Mr. Henry Z. Steinway was in his office today and invited me in for a visit, which to me was one of the great honors of my life. But it speaks to his graciousness, because I said that when I walked in, and he said, "Oh, that's nonsense. I'm just a craftsman. You're the artist." And he was just a lovely, lovely man.
And Mr. Steinway at that point was 93 years old.
Correct. Correct.
And when faced with somebody who's so legendary in his field, and me, in his humble words, just a craftsman, you asked what seemed like a very normal question. Hey, in this long career of yours, what are you most proud of? You didn't get the answer you thought you were going to get, did you?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. I expected, some of his associations with the great pianists of the 20th century. And he thought for a moment and he said, during World War II, we were prevented by the War Production Board from continuing our production of pianos. And we got an idea that the men in the field need music, they need pianos, they need something that will lift their morale. And so we went to the military and pitched this idea to make some humble little pianos that could withstand battlefield conditions. And lo and behold, they bought it. And so the Steinway was the only piano builder that was building pianos during the first, several years of the war, and they were building them for the military.
Well, it's really an interesting idea, and it shows how the times have changed, right? In the 1940s, playing the piano and reading sheet music was something that was widely done, and Mr. Steinway wanted to make sure that, as you say, the morale of the troops could be lifted. But you can't ship a standard size piano all around the world. Tell us a little bit about what he designed and what he had built.
Well, actually, you can. In terms of the keyboard, this is a standard sized piano. It was 40 inches tall. And the main adjustments were made both for ease in moving the piano around and in withstanding conditions that it was going to have to withstand, and the use of restricted materials like copper, brass, that were needed for the war effort. And so there were quite a few adjustments that had to be made, but they went to work and came up with a little piano that they could produce for this purpose.
Well, I think the next thought our listeners are probably having, Dr. Peterson, is, how do you ship these things around? Anybody who's anybody who's tried to move a piano has probably thrown their back out. But talk a little bit about sort of how did they distribute these pianos?
Well, the first thing they did was they created a crate. And Henry told me that he said, we were building caskets at the time, and I looked at one of those caskets. And I thought, if we made one of those basically a little bit bigger, maybe we could pack a piano inside it. And they were very, very well packed, to the extent that some of the pianos were actually airdropped to troops on the field. So they were dropped by parachute with other supplies in these crates. They were also relatively lightweight for an upright piano, and they had built-in handles, so they could easily be picked up and moved and almost thrown around if there were four handles on them, so four men could easily pick it up and put it wherever it needed to be.
Well, talk a little bit about the piano playing public at that point in time, Gary, and I guess in particular what we would have expected from the troops who would have received these pianos.
Well, the piano was the musical instrument par excellence in the 1940s, at the beginning of the war. Just about every home had a piano, and a piano was used for every kind of music making that was done, whether it was patriotic music, popular songs, jazz, classical music. Just about everything used a piano. And so whether they were music readers or people who just sat at the piano and fiddled, or fiddled around, or men who played by ear, the letters that have come in through the years tell us that these pianos were played night and day. Once they arrived, there was always someone to play them, and there were many others to gather around and listen and sing and just enjoy the music making.
Gary, how many of these types of Victory Vertical pianos did Steinway produce during the war effort?
Exactly 2,436.
And where did they go? Did they just go to Europe? Did they just stay in the United States? Where did they go?
They went to every theater of the war. They found, I was just reading this morning about one that made its way to Australia. I've known of one that was found in Asia, in China. Many in Europe, Northern Africa, they truly, and then USO shows and bases all around the United States and Canada. I mean, really, they circled the globe.
And these pianos would have, obviously, those are all different conditions, and they're a whole lot different than the concert halls that you as a trained pianist play in. Did they have to accommodate the conditions that they anticipated the pianos would be subjected to?
Oh, absolutely. There are so many adjustments that had to be made. First of all, the soundboard was twice baked. It was really, really prepared for all kinds of humidity. There were brass screws that actually screwed the soundboard to the frame of the piano, because they just knew, especially in the South Pacific, that they would warp and pull away. There were all kinds of insect treatments, for instance, to the felt and the parts of the piano that could be consumed by insects. In those days, they still used ivory keys, but ivory would not hold up, and so they developed a celluloid key top. And so just a lot of adjustments. Steinway was pretty ingenious in meeting all the requirements of the War Production Board.
Well, it really shows sort of, American ingenuity to modify the piano for the conditions it was going to face. And you just wouldn't think of this unless some expert like you was explaining it. But I have to ask, now we've all seen, these beautiful black lacquered Steinways, or maybe they're white or some other color. What was the outer appearance of these vertical Victory pianos?
Well, one letter I read, a young GI is writing home about the arrival of an Army GI piano, and he said, "We took it off the Jeep, and it was exactly the same color as the Jeep." So the Army pianos were olive drab. The Navy pianos were gray. The military was very specific about what color they needed to be.
And those of us who've served can just absolutely envision this, that you'd take this beautiful instrument and, by God, everything's got to be olive drab, you know, or everything's got to be, on a ship, everything's got to be gray. So, that is the Department of Defense way. I want to make sure everybody understood. They didn't change the rules here. They applied the rules to these field pianos. How was the music communicated, Professor Peterson? Would guys have their own sheet music? Would they get sheet music in the location? How did they get the music to play?
The music was actually packed, crated with the piano, and every crate contained a similar assortment, but various, you know, differences. But it contained an assortment of sheet music, Protestant hymns, popular music, patriotic music, some classical pieces, especially swing, jazz, but various kinds of jazz, boogie woogie, just what they really believed that the soldiers would consume as soon as they opened it, and that seems to be what happened.
Well, it's a very, again, you can sort of see how different types of music would fit different circumstances for the troops, and probably different players' skill levels, I would assume, as well.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And so you have this conversation with Henry Steinway, and you go back home, and how does this, infect your life?
Well, I truly didn't have any idea how it was going to, you know, affect my life at the time. First of all, because I was almost, I was so surprised. You know, I have a doctorate in music. I'm supposed to know everything. And I had never heard of this. And so I came home and I started telling people what Mr. Steinway had told me. And lo and behold, nobody knows this story. And so I just got more and more interested. I started visiting the Steinway Archives in Queens, New York, and seeing what I could find about this project. And I gradually decided, you know, that I needed to tell this, that this is not only an important piece of history, but it's also important for us to know today.
Well, I think it's also one of those stories where when you start hearing it, you can see this intersection of music, entertainment, morale, the war effort, coming together in a way that makes so much sense when somebody explains it to you. But I would never have guessed it without having had the good fortune of hearing you present your program, the Victory Vertical Piano Project, where you intersperse both the history and the pictures of this, but also the actual music that was likely played. And maybe you can talk about some of your favorite selections that actually get played when you do the project yourself.
Well, sure. I include some patriotic numbers, of course. I'm sure that during World War II, the Star Spangled Banner was included in any event that happened anywhere. And so I play things like that. I often play the patriotic medley of the Armed Forces theme songs. I start the story with a well-known boogie-woogie version of Chattanooga Choo Choo, which was number one on the charts when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, and also was the name of a bombing campaign in Western Europe that was extremely successful in cutting off all the communication there. I play classical pieces like the music of Samuel Barber, who was a went through basic training, and they discovered that he was a celebrated composer, and they said, the best thing you can do, we're going to send you home, and we want you to write American music, because this war is not only a war of military might, but it's a war of ideas, and we need to be able to get our ideas, our American ideals out to the world. And so I play that. I play, of course, Glenn Miller's wonderful signature tune, Moonlight Serenade. Wonderful figure who tried to get in the service, and they told him he was too old, and he just came back and tried again, and finally they took him, and after not too long, he went down probably in the English Channel when he was on his way to present a program to the troops. I play a piece by a Michigan composer, Ross Lee Finney, who was a war hero and also the chair of composition at the University of Michigan when he came back from the war. But he came back after having stepped on a landmine, and he was suffering from what we today call post-traumatic stress. And so this is a piece that shows really that deep effect that war experiences have on soldiers after they come back, and his working through those issues.
I want to say that again, the music interlude, the way you do this is just fantastic. I want to encourage all our Veteran Radio listeners to take the opportunity to check out your website, and maybe you can give us the website that folks can go to follow on where you are performing and learn more about these Steinway Victory Verticals.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jim. The website is victoryvertical.com. No spaces, no caps.
And you've been able to perform this not only in the greater Ann Arbor area, but at a number of locations around the country. Maybe you can talk a little bit about any future performances that you already know that you have lined up out of state.
Sure. I had the wonderful opportunity just after I launched the program on Veterans Day in 2017 to be contacted by a foundation in Washington, D.C. called the Pitchpipe Foundation that was working with the Veterans Administration and sending me to veterans facilities throughout the country, which was just absolutely a wonderful way to begin. So I played in veterans facilities throughout the country. My current season began again on Veterans Day last year, and I've done 10 programs since then, and I probably have about 10 to 15 before I wind up this season in July. I will be playing, I just came back from some performances in Phoenix. I will be playing in Pensacola, Florida, a couple of programs in February, and in Memphis, Tennessee in March. Nebraska, Hastings, Nebraska, in April, and I'm doing a West Coast Northwest tour in May. I'll be playing in Washington and Idaho, that region. Then coming back and touring Iowa, Minnesota area in June, and ending the season with some performances in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan in July.
And all listeners, all of those dates can be found on his website at victoryvertical.com, where you can get more information about this unique Steinway piece of history and intersection with World War II, but also, more importantly, to be able to find where Dr. Gary Peterson of Eastern Michigan University is performing this program, and you won't pack up the car, bring the folks, you won't regret it at all. Gary, I really appreciate the work that you're doing here to keep this story going and alive. I'm sure Mr. Steinway is looking down smiling and would never have thought in sort of an offhand comment would lead to this, but you're doing great work, and we appreciate you taking some time to explain it to our listeners here on Veterans Radio today.
Thank you, Jim. It truly has been kind of a I'm becoming a little bit fanatical, but it's been a true pleasure.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.